Hello and welcome to Routines and Ruts, the podcast about daily rhythms and the inevitable stumbles we encounter in our lives. I'm your host, Madeline Dorr, and for many years I've been asking people what their days look like, what they do, when they do it, how they do it, and have recently bundled all of those insights into my very first book, I Didn't Do the Thing Today. It's all about untethering ourselves from this idea that productivity is the sole measure of our worth. It's about finding something more fitting, more flexible, more malleable to the variances in our day and in ourselves. And so if you've ever felt the pressure to do more, be more, achieve more, I think you'll get a lot from it. If you've been listening along to this season, thank you so much for your patience while I took a brief, unexpected pause over the last couple of weeks. You'll know that I've been answering your productivity guilt quandaries in the lead up to the launch of the book. And now that it's out in the world, it's time for me to wrap up this season. And before I do, I wanted to share some highlights from a live confessional session I did with the Creative Mornings team earlier this week. There were some beautiful themes that emerged from that group confessional where people shared their productivity guilt quandaries and confessions. In particular, those around perfectionism and fear of failure and making mistakes, I think really spoke so beautifully to what the book really addresses, which is so much of our productivity guilt stems from this societal pressure to be perfect, societal expectations to be perfectly productive, to be perfectly seizing our time, to be making perfect decisions. And so I thought it would be a great way to bundle together a lot of the insights from season three, as well as a lot of the insights that you can delve even further into in the book. And on that note, I want to say a very heartfelt thank you to each and every one of you who has bought the book so far. It's so lovely to hear that it's inspiring you or that you found it thought-provoking and comforting. If you're yet to grab a copy, you can find it in all good bookstores, online, and there's even an audiobook version read by yours truly. If you've enjoyed hearing me through the podcast, you can have me in your ear once again reading the audiobook to you. If you've enjoyed this season and my work, there's a whole lot of lessons compiled in the book itself, and it's a really great way to support my work. Now, before I dive into the quandary for this final episode of the season, I wanted to share my routine and rut of the week with you. My routine of the week is something that I could speak about for hours on end, so I'll try to keep it short, but that is running. This Friday, I saw that there was a 10-kilometer fun run happening around the Botanical Gardens, and I spontaneously decided to sign up the night before. This person who signs up for a fun run the night before feels like a stranger to me in many ways, but running has really been something that's grounded me in so many lessons that I think are incredibly important for any kind of endeavor that we want to undertake in our lives. And so I wanted to share those with you. The first being to take things step by step. When I started out running, 2 minutes was difficult. And in time, week after week, just increasing 2 minutes to 3 minutes to 5 minutes to 10 minutes to 20 minutes, allowing myself to linger in that challenge was the very thing that allowed me to cultivate a practice of running and not being hard on myself when it came to pressurized goals of reaching 5 kilometers in a certain time or what have you. It was really just about improving upon myself, even if that just meant showing up once again to run for 20 minutes. Eventually, I was able to run for 5 kilometers and lingered there and then did set my sights on running for longer. And I thought 10 kilometers would be an unheard of for me personally. And so I signed up for a running group to help go from 5 kilometers to 10 kilometers. And that's where that second lesson that I want to share with you comes in. To my surprise, the secret for going from 5 kilometers to 10 kilometers was to slow right down. So instead of just running at the same pace I was running 5 kilometers at, it was about pairing it right back to the point that I could hold a conversation was the metric. If I could talk while I was running, that meant that I was going slow enough. And it's so counterintuitive to so much advice that we receive or see to actually have someone give us permission to slow down in order to improve. It's a philosophy that we could apply to so much. And so I eventually reached that goal and was able to run a 10-kilometer fun run last year. And in that time since, there's been times when my running practice has completely dropped off and it's like building from scratch again. So running for 20 minutes, running for half an hour, building back up to the point that I can run 10 kilometers again now. And here I am spontaneously signing up for fun runs the night before. But that all stems from taking it step by step, only competing against yourself, using yourself as a metric rather than comparing yourself to anybody else, and slowing right down. So I hope the lessons from my running routine can be applied to whatever project you need that extra motivation for. And just reminding ourselves that sometimes that motivation comes in very, very small little lessons. Now, my rut of the week is simply that I've been in one. I am in the fallow after a big project, and it's been important for me to return to my own advice from this very podcast, from the book that I've just written. This podcast itself, Routines and Ruts, is really about appreciating the different seasons we can be in with our lives, with our relationships, with our creativity, with our work. So it's important to remember that there's value in all of those seasons. So there's value in the ebb and the flow. We need the time to breathe in just as much as we need the time to breathe out. And so for me, while I'm in a rut, what that looks like is that it is harder to find motivation for things. It's like there's a dimmer that's turned down the light on different projects and things. And it's actually time to go dark for a little while, to allow for that rest and have the patience and create space. I know that when I'm in the rut, pushing through or jostling or trying to wrestle myself out of it is only going to get me further wedged. And so it's actually about conversely creating space and trusting that there'll be a time a nudge will come that will gently push me out of the rut. So it's actually been helpful to return to a chapter in my book, which is all about the relationship between the routine and the rut. In this chapter, I say, we rarely find ourselves immediately springing into action after a rut. We are often nudged through intermediate stages of two steps forward, one step back, but we eventually find our way. In this continuous cycle of the routine, the rut, the nudge, we eventually find ourselves once again with a new rhythm to our days. We settle into a new home, we ease into a new job, we start dating again, we feel a sense of possibility for a different future, we feel the strength of our perseverance. If you are finding yourself in a rut or finding yourself with the lights slightly dimmed or dimmed completely, I just hope that this too can be a reminder to be patient with that and to trust that the nudge will come, either because you're ready or you're ready to engineer that nudge yourself. The seasons will keep changing, and sometimes we don't need to rush. As mentioned, I wanted to collect a few questions that I received in my Creative Mornings field trip, and those were very much about perfectionism. And I thought that these two questions really illustrated the two sides to perfectionism that we might overlook. The first question is, I procrastinate quite often, and I'd really like to break that habit. I'm a perfectionist, but I feel lazy and unmotivated often. How can I change my mindset to avoid procrastinating? Now, as mentioned, there's two sides to perfectionism. And so the first is the delay of starting, and the second is the delay of finishing. This question here is very much looking at that first variety, the delay of starting something. And so that can very much wear the guise of procrastination. But before I speak about procrastination, I wanted to look at this label of lazy. So I feel lazy and unmotivated often. And I think that laziness, as I've spoken about before, can often be a misnomer. It's a mislabel for what's actually happening. Laziness isn't always accurate. Sometimes we're not being lazy. We're thinking about a problem. Perhaps we're not lazy. We're actually getting the rest that we need. Perhaps we're not lazy, we're simply exhausted from the many, many things that we're doing. And so say by the evening, when we have this free time available to us to do the things that we want to do, we are exhausted by the things that we have to do. And so I think it's worth interrogating what behavior you're labeling laziness and asking whether it really is whether you're lazy or whether there's something else at play here. But of course, there are times when we are procrastinating and we are delaying starting, and it perhaps not out of laziness, but rather what's behind this procrastination is actually fear. And when it comes to perfectionism in particular, it's the fear of making a mistake. It's the fear of failing. It's the fear of not being good enough. It's the fear of judgment from other people. And so, yes, sometimes procrastination means we aren't ready yet, but sometimes procrastination means that we're afraid of what other people might think, or afraid that we might discover we aren't as perfect at a thing as we'd like to be. And so something that I find really helpful is to remember that the antidote to being afraid of the work is to actually do the work. That's the only way through. And so what that really means is that we have to be comfortable with embracing trying. We have to be okay with not being good at the thing. We have to be okay with the stages where we are a beginner and we're mediocre and we suck. We have to be able to embrace trying. And so I think to do the work, it comes back to being willing to take that first messy step and many more after that. It means that we need to realize that there's no perfect time to take that first step or to get started. As perfectionists, we can create all these traps for ourselves where we say, well, I can only write if I have an uninterrupted stretch of time in the morning or the evening, or when things settle down at work, or when I have the perfect desk space, or when I have the perfect tools. There's no such thing as perfect. There's no perfect space. There's no perfect time. There's no point where you will be perfect and ready. You don't actually need to know everything before you start. You just need to try something. And you can try that something at any time. It can just be the next 10 minutes that you have spare. It can be in the afternoon if you miss the morning. It can be on the train writing notes in your phone rather than in this perfect desk with the perfect view. I fall into this trap continuously. I have to keep on remembering that the antidote to being afraid of the work is to do the work. And maybe a little addition to that, however you can, wherever you can. If our procrastination is stemming from fear and the fear of imperfection, the fear of making a mistake, the fear of failure, I think another way to really turn that on its head is to actively seek failure, to actually collect mistakes, because they're just a sign that we have tried. If we fail more, then we've actually tried more. There's this beautiful quote by Inés Nin that says, "You have a right to experiment with your life. You will make mistakes, and they are right too." If we collected our mistakes, if we saw that they are the very things that enable us to learn and to grow and to do something with our days, they're the badge of honor, I think. And so the path out of avoiding this kind of procrastination is to be okay with the mistakes and to try. The second question was, I have a lot of creative interests and dream of turning them into a side hustle someday. As long as I'm having fun and making something just for me, I make great progress. But as soon as I start focusing on creating for a broader audience, I lose confidence and never finish. Or worse, I start over halfway through because I don't think it's good enough. How do you break through this barrier? I've tried so many mental tricks and techniques, but I always end up in a mire of guilt over my inability to finish any of the projects that really matter to me, in spite of the fact that I'm a very productive person in my day job. Now, this is the other side of perfectionism, so the delay of finishing, but what they both share is this fear of what other people will think, this fear of making a mistake, this fear of judgment, and if we perpetually delay finishing, we'll never find out how it's received. We'll never find out if we've failed. We can just be suspended in perfect animation. So before I talk about how to overcome the delay of finishing, it's important to acknowledge here that we can be very productive people in our day job, but find ourselves caught in productivity guilt or the different guises of it, like perfectionism, in our creative work or in our relationships or our home life. We contain multitudes, and I think that's important to remember on this theme of perfectionism. We can be all and everything. And so here I think that the fear of what other people think is being introduced too early. As the question asker put it, you know, they're having a lot of fun when they're making something just for them, and there's great progress when it's just for you. But as soon as it's about an audience, that's when it becomes stifling, and that's where the delay of finishing comes in, because all of a sudden other people's opinions or judgments and what they'll think is introduced into the psyche, and it makes perfectionism rear its head. And so I think here you can so easily see that contrast of we can be productive in a day job where we might feel more confident, whereas we don't feel as confident with the creative work or what other people might think, that's when it can be really fragile. And so I think it's important here to again remember that the important thing is to try and to keep collecting those mistakes. It's a lot scarier to put what we create into the world rather than perhaps hiding behind the safe confines of a day job and, you know, key responsibilities and KPIs. So to finish something in this instance really requires courage. And as I spoke about in the previous episode, courage isn't necessarily an innate trait. It's something that we cultivate. So it comes from having experiences, and then those experiences, we glean lessons, and from those lessons, we glean confidence. And from there, we can have courage once again to put something into the world. And we need to encounter this again and again and again. It doesn't matter how far we progress, we will continue to be met with self-doubt in different areas. That's why there is this paradox of being productive at work, but not in our creative work, because we're continuously growing in different areas and need to cultivate that courage to navigate the sea of self-doubt that I speak about in the previous episode. As I spoke about in that episode, a lot of that does have to do with feeling worthy within ourselves and cultivating that worthiness internally rather than looking for external validation or permission to do something. But what I really love to add to that is that there's a difference actually between worthiness and something being worthwhile. And I think sometimes if we focus on something being worthwhile, we can take ourselves out of the picture for long enough to sidestep our own perfectionism and to just focus on the thing that gives us joy. Back to that question asker saying that as long as you're having fun and making something just for you, just because you find it worthwhile, that's when you find yourself making the most progress. And so I'm often reminded of the quote from Ira Glass that talks about how nobody tells people who are beginners that there's going to be this gap between our taste and our ability at that thing. And so we have this great taste, we know what we like, we know what we think is good, and we have our own judgment of that. But our skills and ability still require more experience to get it to that point. So our work disappoints us, and we can get stuck in this phase where there is this gap between what our work is and what we want it to be. And that's really what we need to wrestle. That's the worthwhile pursuit. That's where we really need to channel the focus. So we have to get through this. And it's actually not so much about finishing so much as making sure that you don't give up, that you keep iterating. And so as Ira Glass says, if you're just starting out or you're still in this phase, you got to know it's normal. And the most important thing you can do is a lot of work. Put yourself on a deadline so that every week you will finish one story. It is only by going through a volume of work that you will close the gap. And your work will be as good as your ambitions. It's going to take a while. It's normal to take a while. You've got to fight your way through. And so I think that's the big lesson here, is that it's not so much about completing something, because complete is an illusion. Perfectionism means to complete, but we never quite get there. We just have to keep on trying. There's this quote that says, courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes courage is the quiet voice at the end of the day saying, I will try again tomorrow. And that's all you need to do, is to try again tomorrow, to do the work that interests you, the work that is worthwhile to you. The important thing is to try to get other people's judgments out of your head and to even get the idea about whether it will be a failure or a success out of your head, because you don't need to worry about that yet. You just need to try the work. There's an Ellen Moore quote that says, "In order to be able to make it, you have to put aside the fear of failing and the desire of succeeding. You have to do these things completely and purely without fear, without desire, because things we do without lust of result are the purest actions we shall ever take." And so I hope that's what you take with you. Remember that we're never complete. We keep on trying. Do the work that interests you. Keep on trying rather than trying to do it perfectly. Thank you for listening to season 3 of Routines and Ruts. It's been a pleasure to dive into your productivity guilt quandaries. I've enjoyed hearing from you so much, and I hope the episodes have been a gentle guide for you to find your own answers, because I truly believe they're often within us. Sometimes we just need to be quiet enough to hear them. If you've enjoyed the themes in this season, I'd say there's a really good chance you'll like my book, I Didn't Do the Thing Today. It explores all things like perfectionism, comparison, ambitions, busyness, and it offers up some alternatives for how we can look at our days and how we can make whatever we do count. You'll find a link in the show notes to my book, and there's even an audiobook read by me. So as season 3 of Routines and Ruts wraps up, you can still have the pleasure of listening to me if you get the audiobook. If you'd like to stay in touch, you can sign up to my newsletter at madelinedoor.com, where I'll keep you in the loop about future writings, projects, podcasts, all of those things. Or you can find me at extraordinary_routines on Instagram, where I'd love to hear what episodes resonated, if you had any questions of your own, there's been any highlights from the book that you'd love to share, please do tag or send me a message. I always love hearing from you. Until we meet again, I hope you remember there's more to the days than what we did or didn't do. So we may as well find a way to enjoy it.